The sounds of the temple treasury. It's a makeshift bucket. There were 13 cone-shaped receptacles. And as you left the court of women, court of Gentiles, and went into the court of women, on the side of the temple wall at the court of women were these receptacles. It's the last week. It's Passover week. Jesus is in Jerusalem for the last time. The day is Tuesday, matter of fact. And Jesus listens. Now you heard the sound as all this change was going in this bucket. Can you imagine 13 of these? And hearing those coins swirl around the brass? I'm sure the sound got overwhelming at times. And then one lady came and put in the least possible amount, using what the Greeks called the lepton or the lepta. Lepta is singular. And she dropped one little brass coin. That's all you heard. And then another. And Jesus is watching all this. To all of us who came and emptied our pockets and put all this in and kept going and all the sounds, Jesus says nothing compares to that one lady who dropped in two brass little coins. What was so dramatic about her gift? What made her gift different than all the rest? The tithe was taught, the tithe is taught today, and the tithe is expected. Oftentimes you see in bulletins, worship with his tithes and our offerings. We don't give an offering until we've made good on giving the tithe. So what these men and women were doing, they were coming up at the season of Passover. They were bringing their tithes. They were putting them in there for everyone to see. And you could hear all this noise. And then Jesus said he was over at the side reclining. Did you hear that sound again? Two coins. All the sound of all that money, and then two coins. And Jesus said, that's the gift I want. There are four things I want to tell you about that gift. There are four things that make it what it is. There are four things that make our gift to God what it is. And the first one is this. We're in Matthew chapter 12. I hope you bring your Bibles each Sunday. I hope you'll turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 and 42. I'm going to read those verses as we share each point this morning. The first thing I want to tell you is true biblical giving is sacrificial. True biblical giving is sacrificial. And I hope this morning, as you have your Bible open, that you're in the gospel. You're in the gospel of Mark chapter 12. And you look with me in verses 41 and 42. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. It's this area in the court of women I was telling you about. And he saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. A lot of coinage, should we say, was being transferred to those receptacles. And all this noise of jingling money. Then one poor widow came and threw in two lepta, two mites, or two lepton, which make a quadrant. In other words, about 1/64th of a cent, in essence. 1/64th of a day's wage, should we say, which wasn't much. It was the least type of value for money she could have possibly put in. She gave sacrificially, literally. From chapter 11, verse 1 to chapter 16, verse 8 in the Gospel of Mark, you see that span of 1 week. It is the season of the Passover. And Jesus is resting. He saw many walk by. He saw them bring their gifts. But then he listened, and so did the others of this lady, as she simply gave. She took everything out that she had. But the Bible says something very specifically. She gave sacrificially. What she gave cost her. I want you to look with me. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich or put in much. Then one poor widow. Now often in the English language, we tend to go over that word poor. That word poor in the Greek is the Greek word that we transliterate into English so we can say it in essence, pauper. She was a pauper. The word means she had nothing. She was destitute. She had no food. She had no other money. She had absolutely nothing but what was in her pocket. All she had. She was a pauper. She was long below the poverty level. She did not have it to give. She had every reason whatsoever to say, Lord, I just need to hang on to these two. And she came up to that treasury, and she dropped in those two small coins. It hurt her to give, because when she gave those two coins, what did she have left? Absolutely nothing. It was a sacrifice. What the others gave were not a sacrifice. They were giving out of their abundance, not their first fruits, not the beginning. It did not cost them or hurt them. They still had plenty left. But this widow, she had nothing. She had nothing. She gave totally sacrificially. And that's the type of gift God demands of me and you. When it hurts us to give. When it's impossible to give. True biblical giving is first sacrificial. But I want to tell you the second thing this morning. True biblical giving is not only sacrificial. True biblical giving is selfless. True biblical giving is selfless. In verse 43, it says, so he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, assuredly, in other words, listen to me, men, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who've given to the treasury. When he called his disciples and used this great sacrifice of this lady to teach a much-needed lesson to the disciples and to all of us, and he said they all gave an offering to God, both the people and the poor who did not have. And they, the ones who had plenty gave more money. And those who had none, as the widow, she literally gave it all. But why in God's eyes? Why did God see her gift as the most important? Because God measures what is kept, not what is given. The widow, what did she keep? Absolutely nothing. She gave her life to God. The others still had much. The widow had given more of what she had. The others had given less of what she had. And the widow had sacrificed more, and the others had sacrificed less. And in proportion to what she had, the widow gave a larger percent. Folks, here's the lesson Jesus was teaching. Our Lord counts what we have left, not what we give. He counts the amount of sacrifice, not the amount of money. The gift that matters is the gift that costs the giver to give. It's not the size, it's the cost. Last week we looked at the scriptural responsibility of tithing. of returning to God 10%, not of our net, but our gross income, what we make to the Lord. But that the tithe is so much more than money. When we hear the word tithe, so many people, all they think is finances. God wants the tithe of your time. God wants the tithe of your talents and gifts. And God wants the tithe of your financial well-being. But when Mark said it, in our oldest gospel writer, Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he showed in Luke's gospel as well, this one little lady dropping in all she had. What was she doing? She was trusting God for her future. She was trusting. It was selfless. There was no thought for herself. It was everything thinking for God. God's going to take care of me. God promised He will take care of me without question. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, the Word of God says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I wonder what would happen in this world if evangelical Christians would decide together, all over this country and this world, to practice the biblical giving by giving back to God at least 10% of our time and our talents and our money. A little church just outside Galveston, Texas, did that very thing. They had a Demonstrate the Tithe Day and collected the largest offering ever in the history of that little 50-member church. It was 6 times larger than their usual offering, and the aftermath, more than the amount, obviously, was more exciting. The pastor had preached the tithe of time, of talents, and of money. And suddenly, the almost zero volunteer base of people in the church started to explode. God began to convict, and people understood that conviction of those that were not involved. And He was saying, "Look, I want your tithe of your time as well." People started volunteering. They were volunteering to do almost everything, and everything was out of gratefulness to God for what He was doing and what He was going to do in the life of the church if He tarried His coming. Many who had never tithed in their life changed their attitude and decided if they could do it once, they could do it again. And by the end of the year, giving was up 3 times what it had been before the demonstration of the tithe day, and the enthusiasm was up more and more, and people were giving testimonies to the power of God as a result of God's church being faithful in the tithe. Now that was 50 folks. Why can't we do the same right here at Olive Springs Baptist Church? We got more than 50 of us. What if, let's play it, the child's game for a minute. What if all of us, just all of us in this room, not even our total membership, all of us in this room make a commitment that on Sunday, February the 1st, we're going to tithe. Period. We all make that commitment together, a covenant tithe to God. And we say that that's our tithe. That's our Demonstrate the Tithe Day. What if I ask you, along with me, every member, to commit to giving a tithe of your total gross income for that week only, and let God convict you, and He will. Could what happened in that little church of less than 50 happen here? You better believe it could, folks. So I'm asking you, will you join me in bringing the tithes into the storehouse? Now, I want to say what I said again last week. I'm not against parachurch ministries. Some are wonderful. But ladies and gentlemen, your tithe is not to go to Billy Graham. Your tithe is not to go to Joel Osteen. Unless you're a member of his church. Your tithe is to go into the storehouse. Biblically, in the Word of God, the storehouse is the church. I hear people say, "Well, you know, I'll just split my tithe. I'll give 60% to the church, and I'll send 40% to Reverend such and such out in Plano, Texas." That's wrong. And I'm saying that based on the Word of God. The Bible says bring all the tithes into the what? Storehouse. Why? So you can pay the preacher a big fat salary? So you can pay all this? No, so you can do the ministry that God has called the church to do. We can pay our bills. We can take care of everything we need to take care of. But even more, we can do the ministry because God's people will take the tithe seriously. Not only in finances, but time of talents. And God says, look, thank you for your tithe, but I am interested in you, just like that widow. She gave everything. Her entire life, and she put it in the offering plate, literally into the receptacle, and she trusted God for the rest. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder, and me too, I'm hearing this much louder than you are, I wonder if I've got enough faith to put in all I have and trust God for the rest. I wonder if the 21st century Christian, if we all have enough faith in our heart to believe the Word of God, that if we put it in, God said, I'm going to take care of you and bless you. Don't misunderstand me. God's not going to take a $5 bill and turn it into $5 million. He never promised you that. He promised, he said, you be obedient to me in worship. You give what is mine. You return it back to me. And God says, I will bless you. But are we willing to take God at His word? Do we have enough faith in our heart to say, Lord, here it is. I'm not asking you to come in here and take your wallet and put it in here. But I'm saying let's give like the lady did. Let's give sacrificially without question. Let's give selflessly. But then in the third place this morning, let's give how? Because true biblical giving meets needs. True biblical giving meets needs. Look at the last verse. Verse 44, chapter 12. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. Being a pauper, she put in all she had, her whole livelihood. Now, folks, that's faith. Do all of us, and I'm putting us, we all in the same boat here, do we have enough faith to trust God for our future and giving to God like He said, without question? You see, true biblical giving meets needs. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, and I won't read the entire verses to you. You can go back and read that beginning in verse 25. But He says, listen, I've taken care of the lilies of the field. I clothe them. I make sure they're taken care of. Why do you worry as to whether or not you are going to be taken care of? Do you all worry? I mean, don't ask Connie. She'll tell you that I do. Right? God, I tell you, I'm the world's worst worrier. Do you worry about anything at all? I do. And I hold up two hands. And I read this scripture, and every time I read this scripture, God convicts me. He says, Randy, oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, don't worry, it says, verse 31. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Even what shall we wear? You like me, y'all lay out clothes the next day before you put them on the next. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But what's He say? You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you let me take care of the rest. I long for the faith of that widow lady who put in the two coins. Wow. Giving that meets needs. She took her need. She took the fact that she needed to eat. She needed suitable clothing. But far more than needing to eat and far more than her clothing, she gave it to God. Now, folks, not like a martyr, but she gave her heart totally. That's what God wants. From the heart, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. There's a final thing I want to tell you. True biblical giving gives what? All. True biblical giving gives all. The tithe is the Lord's, ladies and gentlemen, our time, our talents, our money. But God says, you know what I want? Don't do that like a payment plan, that you pay up your 10% and everything's good till next month. You don't do it like that. It's not a payment plan. You give cheerfully, happily, hilariously, as the Greek people say, is the definition and the translation of the word cheerful. And you give it because you're giving me your life. 100%. So what do we learn? What do we learn this morning? It's all very simple. True biblical giving, first, is sacrificial. It hurts. It's not easy, folks. And in economic times like we have financially, I know it's not easy right now. It is selfless. It is looking completely to God. It meets the needs of what we have. I shared with you last week of our deficit and where we are. It meets the needs of the church. But then biblical giving is not an amount giving. It's giving all you have. It's like the little girl who stood and pulled on the coattails of the usher taking the offering. And she said to put the offering plate down. And she stood in it. I'm too big to stand in an offering plate, I think, now. But you know, maybe that's what God's calling all of us to do. It's to pull on the coattails of God. Say, hey, that offering plate you got in your hand, put it down here and just step in. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Years ago, it was custom for the people to bring their gifts to the front of the church. And a well-known preacher was making literally an appeal to the people to give their all for God. And many came to present their offerings, and among them was a little crippled girl who hobbled along at the end of the line, and she pulled a ring from her finger, and she placed it on the table and made her way right back up the aisle. No fanfare, nothing for everybody to see. You see, no one actually saw it but the pastor and his associate. What you didn't know is this ring was her mother's, little girl's mother's ring. She was a small child when her mother died. And it was all that little girl had left from her mom. She'd become an orphan. And the only thing of any physical memory or monetary value that she had on this earth was that ring. And after the service, the pastor sent an usher to her home and said, the preacher just want to meet with you soon if you can. So the next day, they brought the little girl in. And the preacher said, my dear, I saw what you did yesterday, and it was absolutely beautiful. But the response of the people, the offering has been so generous. The needs have been taken care of. And we just don't feel right about keeping your ring. So we've decided the best thing we can do is give that ring back to you. And that little girl looked up to that preacher. And we say, out of the mouth of babes, and it happened. She said, preacher, you don't understand. I didn't give my ring to you. I gave it to God. Amen. Biblical giving. Preacher, I didn't give my gift to you. I gave it to God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the silence of this moment, may we just reflect on true biblical giving. And may our hearts be changed forever. As your head's bowed and your eyes closed, what if it's all stripped away? What if we didn't have this nice building? It's a good sound system. What if we didn't have the music of the piano that Pam so beautifully plays, and George on the organ, and Jimmy on the bass? What if it's all stripped away? We have none of it. Maybe God would bring us back to that little widow lady who gave her all. Symbolically, this morning in prayer, would you give your all to the Lord? What you give to His ministry through finances, through your time and your talents, is between you and God, literally. It's nobody else's business but you and God. But God wants your all. He wants you to become as the widow, literally, to give it all. And then this morning in our invitation, George Barnard did a study. Less than 5% of evangelical church members in the United States tithe. Maybe I need to say that again. Less than 5%. Yes, you heard right. So that means 95% of the people in our churches don't practice the biblical teaching of tithing. Is it because of economic times, or is it because of the lack of knowledge of understanding the Word of God? The Lord even goes as far as to say, you prove me, you test me on this thing. You see that I'll pour out a blessing for you. You don't give because of the blessing, you give because of your love for Jesus. God wants all of you. Will you give that all? Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. You gave your all through Jesus Christ on that cross for us. And now, Father, you take us, Lord Jesus, the rags that we are, and you make new rags out of us. Your children, your will be done. We pray it in the name of the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. Well, let's sing that to God this morning as our response. This altar is open for prayer. Matthew and I will be down front. If anything you need to do in talking with us, if we can pray with you, if our deacons can pray with you, they're right next to you, close by. They'll pray with you wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life as we close this service. Let's close it out with victory this morning in new commitment to God to give our all as that widow lady did. Would you stand right now as Karen lead us? Think about the words you're singing this morning and make that commitment to God right now.